You spoke of the Avanti Brahmana as an example of life balancing, but not exactly the kind of life balancing that we expect everyone to do, because first of all, none of the devotees are way on this extreme on this side and use their whole life in that way, and then had to go like that. But actually, that's clearly a legitimate path. If one has that strength of realization and that depth of determination, then if one realizes that material life is nothing and Krishna's lotus feet are everything, if one... And then there are people like that. There's some of the great acharyas took sannyas at the age of 5 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. It's inconceivable from one point of view, but as soon as one accepts the eternality of the soul and a spiritual progression, it's not hard to understand at all. Not any more difficult to understand than how the Western great composer Mozart, he composed this first symphony at 5 years old. A full orchestrated symphony of music at 5 years old. So how is that possible? Unless it's a continuation of the desires and the path of a previous life. So, but still, we must say that this, the turning that the Avanti Brahmana made, was wonderful. But it's not to be imitated, because a sentiment, Prabhupada describes in the first canto, there are two types of sannyasis. One who takes sannyas out of frustration, running from material life, and the other one out of a higher taste. So the Narottama takes it from a higher taste. Now that is especially glorified. That type of renunciation is glorified because it can be maintained, especially that. And it's positive, it drives one forward. And there's no, what I would call, if you renounce in one mood out of some frustration and then something else happens and the flip back response. So actual realization is required. Now there are different moods in our Vaishnava charges on renunciation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mood was, he very much preferred brahmacharya life and sannyas life. So his mood was so strong that he would say that once you understand the nature of the material world and that you're a soul, and if you're out of your house and you find out that your house is burning down, don't even go home to put out the fire. So very, very strong words. Very strong words. But of course there's the theoretical, and that's another point on things, is that we know the ideal, we know the theoretical perfection, and then to be able to apply the theoretical to practical reality is called wisdom. So we also know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also recommended other things. So there's one story of Srila Prabhupada Sannyas. The person who Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur awarded sannyas to Srila Prabhupada through his divine grace, Bhakti Pankaj Keshav Maharaj, that one time when he was a brahmachari, he got a letter, or his mother was very ill, and he was from a wealthy landholder family. So she She wrote him many letters saying, come home. I'm close to leaving. And he wouldn't go. So finally she wrote Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, please send him home. I'm on my deathbed. I just want to see him one more time. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, said, you go home and see your mother. So he hid. For some days, he didn't go home. So finally, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur found out, that his disciple had disobeyed his instruction and didn't go home. He was hiding, wouldn't come and see him, wouldn't show his face. He called him and said, you know, what happened? I asked you to come home. Why? Your mother is passing away. Why didn't you go and see her? And he replied that, of course, I want to follow all your orders, but I know what will happen. When I get home, she will say, my final request to you on my deathbed is please get married and take care of the family property. Then what will I do? And then he said, for so many births, there's a Bengali verse that maybe some of the devotees know, this Pita Mata Sarva Janma or something, that, you know, for so many births I've had so many mothers and so many fathers, but to find an exalted spiritual master like yourself is so rare. So when he was actually so fixed, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, okay. So his mood, you know, was, of course there's always balance, but it was strong like that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood, on the other hand, was take the gradual process to go forward. It's safer. And I saw with Srila Prabhupada's mood, when he was preaching in the early days to the Westerners, he really had to start the movement, and the tendency was that everyone should just move in the temple, regardless of how qualified they were or not. The need was there, and there was no culture behind them. So Prabhupada tried to bring everyone in the temple. But then when he preached in India, he wasn't like that at all. There were so many congregational members that he would just preach to and use whatever the situation they were in Krishna service. So the point is that we don't want to imitate. And what we should do is remain fixed in a path that's appropriate for us under guidance. And if someone, and the essential preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement in one sense, is to use your life responsibly. So some devotees, due to previous life sanskaras, or one could say just good fortune, or good association, or mercy, is that they can go very, very straight to the goal. They don't want anything else in this world other than to serve Krishna. And we would have to say, because their life is simpler, that is so fortunate. And then there are others who are more like this. They have to go a little bit this way, but their goal is there. And there are others who maybe have to go a little bit more that way, but still they're going to the goal. And then there are others who maybe have to go a little bit more that way, but they know where they want to go. And there are others maybe even have to go a little bit more that way, but their goal is really only there. So the basic preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement is whether you go this way or whether you... Of course, it's intelligent to go as quickly as you practically can. And don't be lazy on this side. The basic preaching is don't go that way. Don't go in the opposite direction. Live your life in such a way that you know what your goal is, and make your discriminations in life, they may be like this, but they should be aimed as directly as you practically can towards the goal of Krishna's lotus feet. Okay, so we're not finished with the Yavanti Brahmana, but tomorrow we'll continue speaking about him, but we'll speak a little more about life balancing. This is part one, the principle of balance and why balance is so important. Bicycles and balance. So, there's a basic concept that I learned, that one of the reasons that keeping a balanced life in Krishna consciousness is so difficult is because we don't have a correct model in our mind. And I find the correct model is more a bicycle. Because when you're riding a bicycle, you're going like this, and you're like this, like this, like this, like this. And you're always, you're continuously making adjustments. Continuously you're making adjustments. And after a while, you don't even know, you're not even conscious of the fact that you're making adjustments. But you're always adjusting your balance. And especially if you want to go left, your balance has to shift like this. And if you want to go right, obviously, your balance has to shift like this. And if you want to go straight, still, there's a continuous series of constant adjustments that are being made. Now, when we think of, and the reason why I wanted to give this little presentation, and tomorrow I'm going to offer three practical suggestions. They're quite simple, but hopefully that some of you would like to give them a try. But it's because so many of when I look around, I see, you know, so many of the older devotees, the younger devotees, everyone struggles with this question of balance. Not everyone, but almost everyone struggles with the question of balance, and they don't feel quite that they're balanced in their life. But when we tend to think of getting balanced, we tend to think of something that's going to be a fixed situation that is going to make my life balanced from now and for all, but for once and for all. But from what I've seen is that that's not the way balance works. It's more like riding a bicycle, because life is always throwing things at you, and your own your own nature, even if life doesn't throw things at you, your own karma throws things at you, and your different moods throw things at you, but it's always shifting. What's going on is always shifting. So instead of thinking of trying to find one position that's the balanced position, we try to understand that it's going to be a series of adjustments, a continuous series of minor adjustments. That's ideal. Now, when someone, of course, there is a fixed position, and we'll hear about the Avanti Brahmanas who has attained that fixed position. It's called Paratmanishtam. It's a full focus of the consciousness on Krishna. A fully taking shelter of Krishna, that is the fixed position. But if we're not ready, if we don't have the capacity to do that, we find ourselves shifting, 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 shifting. And what we try to make our goal is like when you see a person who's just learning how to ride a bicycle, and if they don't have the trainer wheels, is to protect them if they use that. Which are, they're not required at all, by the way. But if you see someone's just learning how to ride, you see they're going like this, and they're going like this, they're going like this, they're going like this. So that's what we want to try to avoid: extreme adjustments. And it's funny that the particular workshop we're doing is balance in motion, and the goal being a continuous series of minor adjustments. And one of our examples is the Avanti Brahmana, who is not at all a continuous series of minor adjustments. It's one one extreme adjustment, but it's an example. There are things, so many things to learn in that, but for most of us, if we make us that type of adjustment, we will not be able to maintain it. And if for no other reason, because there's just too much passion and too much ignorance in us, and not enough depth of realization. That's the simple reason why we can't maintain it. But if we could, whatever situation we are, if we adopt the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm moving ahead. So, the concept that I would like to suggest is one of balance in motion. Don't expect to find one position in your life, one situation that's going to be forever balanced. It's as idealistic as thinking, I'm riding my bicycle down the road, and I'm trying to figure out what's the position that's most balanced. Now, if whatever position you turn to, say if it's like that, or like that, or like that, what will happen to you? What will happen to you if you adopt any position and fix it as the balanced position? You'll fall off, you'll fall over, you'll boom. So it's like that. Unless you're paratmanishtam. We're going to have to go like this. So it's balance in motion, what I would like to suggest. But there's something obviously very most important for us as aspiring devotees in this, is that if we're riding our bicycle somewhere, unless we're just riding for the sheer exercise, but if we have some serious riding in Beijing years ago, or so many places, people used to ride bicycles, even in China today, they're starting to reintroduce free bicycles everywhere. It's because just to keep all the traffic off the road, there's so much traffic problems. But if you want to go somewhere by bicycle, if you ask someone, should I go left or should I go right? What's my balance position? Because if I go left, this is balanced. If I go right, first you have to know where you're going. You have to tell them where you're going. You yourself have to know where you're going. So the first position, there's no meaning to balance even, to riding your bicycle in a balanced way, expertly, unless you have a true goal in your life. A true Krishna conscious goal in your life. And I would like to say that goal, it really must be burning brightly. Because the material energy, say we say, on our very best days, we go to a great festival. We see Radha Balava, the kirtan is wonderful. We feel so much inspiration, and we say, "Oh Krishna, you know I'm yours. Whatever you want, please accept me as your servant." But the material energy, I will say, "Oh really? Let's see." And then there's the rest of our life that hits us, one thing after the next thing after the next thing. We go home very innocently to visit our parents, because our parents very much, they sent us here to so they could be proud of us and tell all their family members, I know my son is going to Deshwar. And then you get there, and there's every week there's 30 weddings that you have to attend. And as we talked about this morning, for each of those weddings, there's 4 hours driving in traffic back and forth. So, tortured. So Maya will test you. And that, test what? Your strength of desire. So it's so important. I said something before five times. Does anyone remember what it is? What? We don't have to follow the example. We don't have to follow that example exactly, but we should follow this conclusion. Two conclusions. But this I will also like to say 5 times, 100 times, but you can all say it yourself that many times, that our goal must burn brightly. We want to serve Krishna. We have to want that very, very deeply. Or rather, we don't have to. But the deeper our desire is to serve Krishna, then the rest of our life will fall into place. And the way to do that is strong sadhana, hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. And just in reading, because I've just completed reading the studying and writing about the 11th and 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, this is the conclusion. And it's the same conclusion that Sukadev spoke in the first words to Maharaj Prakrit were the same as his final words, and the same words that he spoke throughout the Bhagavatam, is that we have to hear about Krishna. Because hearing about Krishna, again, it purifies the heart. It fills the desire to serve Krishna. We become attracted to him. If we don't hear about Krishna, or if we hear about Krishna and chant Krishna's names and don't associate with devotees, And we don't do these, especially these things, and of course there's keeping your home a holy place or living in the holy dham and also worshipping Sisi Radhabalabhagwata Thai, living up on the Subhadra, etc. But if we don't do these things, our own Krishna conscious desires, it will go out. And Prabhupada even told me once in Hong Kong that if we give up the chanting and hearing process, it is due to aparad. And we'll do service for a while. You know, we can go on the street. I've seen so many devotees, because Prabhupada, he emphasized the more strong morning program, strong evening program, and really working hard during the day. I remember so many devotees weren't so interested in the hearing and chanting part, either in the morning or the evening, but they were really interested in those kind of people. They just like to work. But no one survives. Even if you have sincerity. And these devotees certainly did have sincerity, but you don't survive without ihan mali nitya sechi shravanadi ja, without watering the plant of your devotional service with the water of hearing and chanting, etc. about Krishna. And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada's books, the ones that he specifically wrote us, are essential. Not that the books his followers have written aren't also important and wonderful, but his books are always the foundation. So I would like to repeat this one 10 times. Just without the goal, we won't go anywhere. Obviously, we'll expertly ride around in circles on our bicycle, fully balanced, until we are toppled by death. So we need the goal, and we need that has to be burning brightly. Just a small flickering flame, it will not prove sufficient. Unless Krishna is so kind to us, he goes, and that's not fun, by the way. So it has to be burning brightly. Another important point, Prabhupada told me, that we need friendships. And we are social by nature. And unless we make friendships, deep friendships with devotees, we'll be lonely. And especially, this is true for brahmacharis, because we've seen sometimes the brahmachari ashram maybe I'm not this one by the grace of Krishna, but we've seen this in other brahmachari ashrams, it becomes filled with lonely old men. Lonely, unhappy old men, I would even say. But everyone, especially the brahmacharis, they have to have very deep, affectionate relationships amongst, especially amongst the brahmacharis, but the other devotees too. Because everyone, Prabhupada told me, needs affection, friendship. And unless we make friendship with devotees, Prabhupada said, we will be forced by this nature of needing affection and friendship to make friendship with non-devotees. And then Prabhupada said, then, and I mean, not that we shouldn't make friendship with non-devotees, but heart to heart to heart to heart. Then Prabhupada said, we will not be able to follow the rules and regulations if we have intimate, completely open-hearted exchanges with non-devotees in that way, deep, full relationships. There are some very special non-devotees, though, who you can't talk about Krishna so much, or Vrindavan, but there's such good people and pious people, you can talk about almost anything else in those. They're very, very nice. Now, so far we talked about balancing the bicycle and the importance of having this burning goal. Now, and we've talked about the process of keeping the goal burning brightly. And again, without the hearing and chanting, it won't burn brightly. Now, there are other elements in life, though, that most of us, not all of us, have to confront. The Avanti Brahmana, he just decided, I'm not going to confront anything else. But here are some of the ones that most of us have to confront. Now, this isn't a complete list, but maybe you could even write it down if you can. The reason why I suggest you to write them down, one of the reasons is that to make sure you know that this isn't the list of the elements of life, but you can add some, and if it doesn't apply to your life, you can cross them out. But here are some of the main ones that I thought of. Now, these are the things that really require balancing in life. First, and I put it on top, is sadhana. Then, the preaching mission. Because if we don't contribute to Prabhupada's preaching mission, then I would not consider we're in proper balance. Health. Any of the older devotees have seen this. Some of the devotees are so sincere, and they go full out for so many years, and then fully collapse, and then can't do service anymore. So it's just this balance, very difficult to attain. Not attain, maintain. It's so difficult. Finances. Immediate family, extended family, friends, intellectual stimulation, emotional satisfaction, even relaxation. Even if it's sitting in front of the deities just for some time, or taking a walk or something like that. Like Prabhupada, he was masterful at everything. He was in anxiety a lot, but he was never in passion. He was in anxiety for the devotees, for the mission, for the different projects he was trying to do, for all Krishna's service. So somehow or another, one time even in Fiji, I was in the room, and he was showing some slideshow to the people in Fiji. And he had such a way about him. He sort of leaned back and he said, in the early days, we didn't have anything. And there was no anxiety. And now we have so much, and still there is no anxiety. But then you know that he's gone through it, this Pred Krishna consciousness all over the world, how he fought about the Juhu temple, how he said, how can I sleep when I know that the people are stealing my money, you know, and this mismanagement, this leader problem, Prabhupada. And yeah, and Prabhupada just relaxed. And he was really, there was no passion. He was so transcendental that he could be doing one thing and then a particular time came, he would stop. Time to take massage and bathe. Then he would rest. Then he would get up and greet people. Then where he was, then he would see devotees. And then he would see more devotees. And then everyone would go to sleep. And then at, say, 10 o'clock, he would go to sleep. But then he would wake up at 12 o'clock. And then that was the time he was alone. And he could do maybe what he really wanted. He wanted to do everything. But then he would become absorbed in the Bhagavatam and chanting. But one thing that most of the older devotees have learned in life, the Prabhupada was the ideal, but I'm incapable of exactly following his example. But I also know one devotee who was only sleeping like 5.5 hours a night, and then Prabhupada woke him up in the middle of the night, like at 2, and said, "You can come and sit with me and be with me while I translate the Bhagavatam." And the devotee said, "Prabhupada, I liked it so much, but I'm already only sleeping 5.5 hours a night, that I'd only sleep 2 hours a night." And Prabhupada said, "That's what I'm doing." And the devotee said, "But you're a Paramahamsa." And Prabhupada said, "Why, you are not Paramahamsa!" Can you imagine? So on one hand, we can't say we shouldn't follow, but if one doesn't have the actual capacity, one should not imitate. That's the point. That's the point. One shouldn't imitate. So we've seen devotees, and Prabhupada also said this too. In Bombay, he said that, you know, the devotees were trying so hard. They would go out all day long and struggle in the Bombay traffic, you know, to make some life members. And then they would come back and they would be completely exhausted and couldn't do anything for 3 days. And Prabhupada said, "No, that is not Krishna consciousness. One day service and then become so exhausted that you can't do anything for 3 days. No. It's a matter of balance." And I guess we have to accept what's balanced for one person may not be balanced for everyone. When all the devotees were young, it was sort of, everyone sort of did the same thing, but as we got older, everyone can't. So all these different things over here, plus more, are just general areas, I would say, that need balancing. And the purpose of leading a balanced life isn't to lead a balanced life on going around in circles on our bicycle. But the purpose is that we have as smooth as we practically can ride back home to the lotus feet of Krishna and Sridham Vrindavan, or Mayapur, or both. The purpose of leading this life, and it's not possible to have a smooth ride. This is the material world. You can't have a smooth ride. And no matter how we try to be balanced, emergencies happen and we get knocked this way and that way sometimes. And sometimes we may even get knocked off completely the bicycle. But then we just try to get up and again as quickly as we practically can and get balanced and start again. But our goal is to minimize the required balance adjustments. So to avoid this kind of a thing, extreme adjustments, so that we can pedal the bicycle of our life smoothly towards our goal. But we should also know, as I said, emergencies, the unexpected does happen, and unexpected events can knock you over. But we try our best not to get knocked over. Because how? Does anyone know any yoga practitioners here? Wow, that's rare for a preaching place. Usually it's like 90%. When I was in China, when you're doing programs outside, it was 50% yoga practitioners and the other 50% was Buddhists. But here it's all devotees. But does anyone know what is it, Vrikasan?
Three-legged.
Huh?
Yeah,
three. Okay, go ahead. Let's see. Okay. You know how to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, do it. Don't be shy.
Is it a sign of the Lord?
Well, yes, just do it, do it. Just try again.
Keep pretending we're not watching.
Why don't you show them how to do that on your pool?
There you go.
Okay. Now what's the key to maintain that pose? Try it one more time. Try to hold it for a little bit, as long as you can. You're doing quite well. Okay. Quite wonderful. Okay. What's the key in maintaining the balance?
Concentrating
on
one point.
Where do you put your focus?
One point.
Where's the one point? Do you put your focus on your hands?
No.
Where do you put your focus? On your nose? On your knees?
Foot.
On your foot. On the most foundational point, where the body touches the earth. You have to focus there. And then once you do that, then everything lines itself up. And if you don't do that, so emergencies occur. They will occur. They must occur. And in general, the key is to keep your focus. The focus has to be on the essential foundational place where everything rests, and that's on your Krishna conscious goal and your sadhana. Thank you for allowing me to make my point very easily. It's very difficult to do that when you have all these passionate thoughts running through your mind continuously, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do that, because then you're not focused. Or ignorant thoughts. Or I have to drown the sufferings of life in some distractions or another. Very hard to... can't keep focused on the foundation. So the whole Krishna conscious lifestyle, of course it's Krishna conscious, But it's based on sattva-guna, the way we, when we get up in the morning, when we go to sleep at night, the fact that we don't have televisions in our houses, and what we do and what we don't do, the way we eat, the water we drink. It's based on cultivating goodness. If we cultivate goodness, goodness is the natural balance mode of material nature. It helps. It doesn't provide the goal, but it helps maintain the focus and balance. Because sattvam sanjayate jnanam comes. Knowledge comes. So the whole lifestyle is based on cultivating goodness. Of course, Krishna consciousness. But it's based on goodness. So we want to, and this takes a lot of desire. And where does the desire come from? It comes from the ability to change comes from having the desire to become, to be with Krishna, burning in the heart to serve Krishna, to serve Srila Prabhupada and his followers. And the more that burns in the heart, in a pure way, anya vilasita sanyam jnana kamara nabhita anakulina krishna asila bhakti utamana, then the more we'll be surrendered, naturally. So goodness is very important, too. And also, it seems like, just go back to a bicycle. When you're going up a steep hill, what to speak of a mountain, no matter how many gears you have, it's more difficult. And it's harder to maintain balance. So that's sort of, we will say, when the Bhajana Kriya, not in the Vritti states, and Krishna consciousness, say. But then, if we can, by the grace of Krishna and our sincerity and association of devotees, if we can achieve the Nishtha stage, then it's quite smooth. I mean, I've heard it's quite smooth. I don't know about it myself. But then, once one has an actual taste, ruchi, for serving Krishna, then it's all downhill. And there's no problem balancing going downhill at all, because the taste of one of Krishna consciousness is burning so deeply in your heart. I want Krishna. Then there's no question. It's quite natural. Now, why don't you, if either on paper or virtual paper or in your mind, if you don't have anything to write on, or if you need something to write on, we have plenty of paper around. I was thinking that we should do a whole mind mapping thing, but then I thought, I've seen something quite interesting when I've done this, and also when I've done this myself, because I personally tried to do this. Does anyone need any paper or anything? Okay. Well, maybe there's plenty of paper, I think. Huh? Interesting. When I've done this, and also there's pads? Okay, anyone needs a notepad? Maybe someone can pass them out, and then pass them to anyone who needs one.
Is there pens in there as well?
Yeah. The whole, we get the whole thing? So, what I'd like you to do is just mentally go over your life, personally, mentally, not go over your mental life, but go over, mentally go, or you can write it down, that's even better. Go over your life. In these areas, some of them may not be required. Something, I wouldn't say simple, but what I'd like you to do is just go over these and just, at least in your mind, or write them down. Just think about your sadhana. Just think about each of the different areas here. Think about your actual goal of Krishna consciousness, what it is. Think about that one. What you actually, why you joined Krishna consciousness, how your goal has developed, if it's developed, what you see is what would you actually like to achieve. Of course, we know prema paramartha mahan. But actually what it is, and think of all the different parts of your life. This may, again, you can put in, and see how you're doing in each of these areas. Write down. Just write down or think about them. And and just try to do this in 15 minutes. So don't do it in a, you know, a fully, write down everything. A lot of it can be done just mentally or even a feeling of how you're doing in each of these different areas. This doesn't have to, it's like not like permanent and written in stone. Just get it out. What we're trying to do is get a feel for you individually, to get a feel for your life and how it is. And ultimately, as you imagine, how to put it, how to get increase the balance. Simplify his life, not complicate his life, but live as simply as we practically can, not as we possibly can, but as simply as we as individuals practically can. We don't want to add more and more clutter to our life. We want to keep our life as simple as we practically can. Prabhupada once, he wrote me and said, that's why brahmacharya life is so ideal, because it's simpler. But then he said, this is when I wrote him and told him that I would remain a brahmacharya. I think I was 21 at that time. And he said, but Krishna consciousness is so powerful that anyone in any ashram can become Krishna consciousness. But he said the benefit of brahmacharya life was its simplicity. So, but for, and then one time Prabhupada was talking about, in Fiji, he said that we were walking, he was walking and I was walking with him, and he's with others, and he was saying that sannyasis should minimize their eating and sleeping. So I said, what about householders, Prabhupada? And he said, oh, householders, they can eat and sleep 24 hours a day. He had a bit of a sarcastic part of him, too. His consciousness was so clear. Krishna consciousness clear. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something with this. But first I just wanted to review a few of the principles that we talked about, because I want that frame of reference in your mind. When you do what I suggest that you will do. I want this frame of reference to be in your mind, as well as the whole life that you have thought of. First is our goal is to avoid extreme adjustments so that the bicycle ride of our life proceeds as smoothly as is practical towards Krishna's lotus feet. So if we want, what we're going to ask you to do at some point is not make a whole big, because it never works, except if you're the Avanti Brahman. So keep in mind, what we do want to do is like a bicycle, a continuous series of minor adjustments. Continuous series of minor adjustments. That's what we'll suggest works, and it suggests whether you're on a very straight path for a sannyasi or a brahmachari, that's very directly straight, very more simple life, less complicated, less entangled, or a householder going like this, or someone going like this, or someone. Regardless, we still have to keep this balance. Again, we've seen so many devotees topple over because suddenly they find that there's something has been missing that they had. They've been trying to push themselves to forgetting that I don't need this because the philosophy says I don't need this, the philosophy or the peer pressure and everything. But then suddenly, boom. So we want a continuous series of minor adjustments. Nothing major. This is, emergencies happen, so sometimes we do have to make major adjustments, but this is, ideally, this is what we're doing from our side. Continuous series of minor adjustments. Nothing major. Nothing idealistic. Be practical. Because I've seen this many times that the devotees say, they get inspired, I'm going, yes, Krishna conscious goal of my life, and they start with, from now on I'm going to put all the parts of my life, I'm going to do this with my family and do this with my business and do this and this and blah, 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 blah. And it looks great on paper, but yet never end up doing any of it because it's too idealistic. The goal is to be practical, something that you will actually do. But you really do want to keep adjusting your life. More hearing, more chanting, more this, more that, more preaching. Less work, there's so many possible adjustments. More time with the family. Less travel, more travel, so many different. Anything can create a disaster in your life if it's like a small disease can erupt and cause big trouble if it's not treated carefully. Finances. So we want to do this. Now, I know one time I did this many years ago, and there was one devotee when we talked about his life and what he could do. He said, my life is so fixed, I can't make any adjustments. And he was such a good, responsible, dutiful, devotee person. In all respects, so good. And of course, I didn't say anything. But then, maybe 4 years later, he came down with a disease that almost killed him. So I would say that if we find ourselves in a situation where we think, I need some balancing, And of course, I can't say it's not, you know, it must be because he didn't balance his life. That's why it happened. But a lot of times we feel so stuck that there's nothing I can do. But at least then we could pray to Krishna more or something, that, oh, Krishna, only you can help me, or something on something else. But usually, there's at least some leeway to make some practical adjustment, something. It can be very small, like the smallest step a baby makes. Because the purpose is to get to Krishna. So if we do our part and take a step, as Prabhupada also said in the Bhagavad Gita purport. Yes. Speaking about determination, I won't read the whole story, but the practice of bhakti yoga, just read the end, after Garuda comes, speaking about determination, and Garuda comes to the rescue of the small sparrow who tried to do something impossible to gain back the eggs to drive the ocean. So similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job, but if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. So our part in the equation is there. Of course, we can just sit back, okay, Krishna. But we should try our best, and then let us see how Krishna reciprocates. The Lord helps those who help themselves. So we try our best to make adjustments to keep our life in balance. Now, here's the question I would like to place to each and every one of you right now. In a simple way, if you wanted to do something that would help balance your life, if you decided I wanted to help balance, but in a practical way, something that you can actually do, even though it may be very, very small, but it's better to do something small that you will do than something big that you won't do, obviously. If you thought right now, after having your life in your hands, so to speak, and hearing these basic principles, how many of you know what adjustment in your life, what needs attention, what adjustment in your life is required, and something practical, that you can do something practical about it, even though it may be small? Just think about that for a moment. And really, only a moment. Now, how many of you know something that would make a difference in your life, that in balance in your life? Raise your hand if you know what you would do. Raise your hand a little higher. Okay, we'll leave it a little more time. That's about 40%, I would say. Okay, let me ask again. How many of you at this point know what adjustment you could practically make, or something in your life, giving it a little more attention in some way or another? Completely private, we won't talk about it publicly or anything. Raise your hand so I can just get an idea. Okay, that's almost everyone. So the point that I wanted to make is that if we give a little attention to our life, and this principle, it's relatively easy to know what we should do to keep our life in harmony, in balance with our goal. That was the point I wanted to make. Now, out of you who who came up with an idea of what you could do, raise your hand if you think it's actually practical enough that you could actually do it. Then that's 10% of the way there. Really, it's only 10%. Because knowing what to do is one thing, and then doing it is something completely different. Because it's so easy when we're sitting here and our minds are focused on these things, and then you go out the door and get in the car, and as soon as you get where you're going, you know, the whole world falls back on your head, you know, the rest of your life. So tomorrow, what I would like to do, I have three relatively simple practical suggestions. And there's one special one in there that I think may make this practical. If practical means we'll actually do it. If someone would like to try this for a month, that will be my suggestion. And then after that, you can do as you like. See if it works and help and is helpful for you. Okay, so that's the end of this part of today's presentation. Except we do have some time for questions and answers to 1:30, if there are questions and answers. And then at 3:30, is that correct? At 3:30 or 4, do we? 3:30, we'll meet again, and then we'll have the great lonely adventure, when you'll be alone with Krishna, and you can't talk to anyone but him. So you'll have some time, we'll have that this afternoon. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions at this point? Oh yeah, then tomorrow's program, let me just speak about that, or this evening's program. So I think that from 3:30 to about 6, and then 6:30 kirtan will begin. And I think the kirtan will be filled with the depth of all your realizations. I hope my health will permit me to be there. That was just the proof that I'm still sick, in case I don't come. But I'll try. And then, so actually it would be really nice if when the devotees come back, but just come back by 6:30, that's the best thing. You can stay out till 6:30, it's just really starting to get dark by 6:30. Just wander around until 6:30, and then come right back into the kirtan. Drink some water, do whatever you have to do, but be here by 6:30 for the kirtan, and then you can talk. It's Mona until 6:30, Mona Vrata. Because the benefit of something like Mona Vrata, I mean, it's Prabhupada, because there are people who, you know, that's a very special thing in India, with people, they're always communicating, they have little chalkboards and things like that. But the purpose of Mona Vrata is to put you internal, because we're so much involved in the external world. So just for this short, so Prabhupada always said, perfect Mona Vrata is only talking about Krishna. So this is, because then you're already internal. So for this one, we just want to become internally absorbed in our relationship with Krishna. And then tomorrow morning, same program as this morning, and then we'll meet again at 9:30, and then we'll finish off the Avanti Brahmana, and then have another half hour break, and then we'll have the second part of this presentation, which is these three practical points, plus another example of life balancing, but he won't be one that you will be able to guess who it is. Anyone want to try? Who's out? The mind reading expert over back there? He who knows does not speak. And want to guess who it is? Who we're going to speak of? Okay. Any questions? All right. Or comments? Yes, Paul. Unreadable.
One thing that physicists have discovered is that a bicycle at momentum, if you hit it, it'll go off course, but then it'll right itself and keep going straight because of the momentum that it's got. So I was just thinking, just because you've got your bike running along doesn't mean necessarily it's going in the actual in the right direction. It maybe appears to be in balance, and but it, on the way it's been deflected, and you know, it looks like it's going okay, but actually it's not. It ends up crashing by itself.
Yeah.
So it's important to make sure you're going in the right direction.
Well, how do we keep ourselves going in the right direction? Because we can't quite trust our material steering mechanism, which is our mind, which we'll hear about tomorrow from the Bhante Brothers. Huh?
We need advisors.
We need good sadhana. We need hearing, chanting, and friends, devotee friends. Yeah. I once had an experience, a Vrindavan experience. I mean, the most interesting things happen. There's no accidents in Vrindavan I've seen. This is one where I had an accident. At one point, I had a motor scooter. Hard to believe, isn't it, Nityananda the Priyapur? I had a motor scooter. It was actually, the wheels are so small and so heavy. But anyway, I got it for one particular reason, so I could go to Govardhan easily. So I was on the motor scooter, and I had gone a few times. And then there was a speed bump, because in Vrindavan they love speed bumps. And they like to make them as big as they can like that. So I decided I wouldn't go over the speed bump. So I decided to go around it. But I wasn't very expert on riding the motor scooter. And so as I started going around it, I started losing control. And the road in Govardhan was in it sort of like this, and then it goes down on the sides, and there's that same motor. You used to ride that motor scooter, that same one, but you know how to do it. And it's sort of the road on both sides, it's high, the road is higher, and then on both sides it's all bauble bushes, it's sticker bushes on both sides. So I started going around it, but I started losing control. And then it was sort of, everything in my mind started really slowing down. And I started thinking, I started doing all the things that I knew how to get back on track. But nothing was working. And I started going, and it was really going, in my mind it was going at really slow speed. And then I started thinking, this is just like death. When, you know, like right now I'm a bit sick, so I'm taking this medicine, I'm doing this breathing, I'm doing this and that. These are things we usually do to bring us back to health. And we expect that they work because they've always worked up to this point. So we have so many things in life that we take shelter of when things start going out of control. We have, you know, health, this, we do this. If we have, you know, friends, we have influence, people, this, that, money, credit card, mobile phone. So anyway, I started thinking, this is just like death. Because whatever I was doing, it wasn't working. And that's what death is like. It's like all the tricks you used in your life to protect you, they all fail at this time. As revered Steve Jobs said, that if you think that today, every day, if every day you think today may be the last day of your life, one day you will be correct. So I was driving, and it was going further and further and further over, and suddenly I toppled over into the bauble bushes. And with the machine, they're quite heavy, right on top of me. And these bauble bushes, they're all stickers. So I couldn't move. I couldn't move the machine. I couldn't do anything. And I thought, it happened. And then immediately, this tempo of Brijbasis came by. Immediately, within 10 seconds. The tempo stopped. Like about 10 Brijbasi men got out of the tempo immediately. They took the machine off me. They got me out of the bauble bushes. Then they got in the tempo and they drove away. It's just like Vrindavan. It's such a magical, mystical place. But it reciprocates with you in the way it wants, not with the way you want. But especially if you chant Krishna's name, if you're chanting and glorify Krishna, then the reciprocations become very obvious. But you can't, try to do things, foolish things, and see how Krishna's going to reciprocate. Okay, any questions or comments?
Prabhu, you mentioned that the final conclusion Bhagavatam presents is to hear and chant in association of devotees. And then when we ask how to develop taste for hearing and chanting, the answer given is Shushusho Shadadana Se Vasudev Kataruchi, by serving Vaishnavas. So we see that we may get very few opportunities to serve very senior Vaishnavas, but the service of hearing from them is easily available. But in first place, we have no taste for hearing. Mm. So how can we get that taste?
But I think that it's not just personal service, like bringing in milk and washing the devotees' clothes, but the real service is service of the desire, because that one's much easier to do, but actually very hard to do close. Actually, it's very hard to be a servant. That kind of a servant too. But if we serve their desire, I think the same thing will happen. It's a blessing. That's what it means. It's not like mechanical. But by their pleasure, then it occurs. But a blessing occurs when it wants to come. Bhakti is independent. That's one way to look at it. But another way to look at it is that it's an acquired taste. It's like Karela. How many of you like Karela? Probably Gujaratis don't like Karela. It's not sweet enough. Jimmy, do you like? Yes, okay. It's not true for all Gujaratis. But for me, when I was in Hong Kong the first time, I had Karela Jagatrini. After we were first married, she served some Karela. She just got it in the Chinese market, and she cut it up and she cooked it. She didn't know what it was. And then I ate it. And I got so angry at her, I accused her of trying to poison me. But then after time, so it's an acquired taste by the actual process. And another thing, two other points on this, is that better than just reading, for example, reading, but is studying, because you get deeper. And the best reason to study is when you're preparing to teach, and then, because that forces you to study and go deeply. And then when you're teaching, you see that Krishna makes you say so many wonderful things, and the person who's teaching, he learns, he's the first learner. First of all, he has to pay attention. He can't fall asleep. Everyone else can fall asleep, but they can go like this and no one knows. The senior devotees learn how to, you know, they learn how to keep their eyes open and be somewhere else completely. But, so when you're teaching, much more comes by giving. And so that's really, really helpful too. When we find that Krishna consciousness or spiritual life in general, it's so interesting that when we find we're not getting enough of something, by giving the thing that we find we're not getting enough of, we get it. Follow what I mean? Do you understand what I say? Okay. If we find that we're not getting enough of something, like, for instance, a taste for reading, or hearing about Krishna, then by giving that same thing that we find that we're not getting a taste ourselves of, we get the taste by giving, even though we don't think we have it. We get the taste by giving what we don't have. You follow what I mean? Because I'll say it again, because it's a little complicated. And another thing still is sometimes we just may be too tired. Because sometimes so many demands, you know, between sadhana and service, and some people wanting to talk to us, and this and this and this, we can just get very tired. So sometimes we need to take a little extra rest and take care of our health in that way. And then there's kirtan, because the sort of the miracle of kirtan is that it's so powerful, sankirtan, that even if you don't have a taste for it, you have a taste for it. It's just so powerful. You see, all the yoga people, as I said, in China, these yoga people and Buddhists, they're all like enjoying kirtan. When I was in Israel, this was really wild for me. One of the devotees who's a Druze, he's a member of the Druze community, he has a friend who's a Muslim, who was a Qigong teacher, Chinese martial arts, and he was friendly and favorable to the devotees. So he brought 15 of his Islamic Muslim students to a program that I was giving class, etc. And so I had one plan for a class, but when they came, I thought, I think I might have to adjust my class a little bit. So I gave, wasn't any special class, you know, we're not our body and how much, it was just that kind of a class. But then, we had a kirtan, and everyone was dancing and chanting, and the Israelis and the Muslims, Palestinians, they were dancing and chanting together, Krishna's holy names, with hands raised in the air. Now, I thought that was pretty amazing. And I thought that I couldn't think of anything else that could bring these people together other than the holy names of Krishna and Prabhupada's mercy in this way. I was so touched by that. So, and then, so there's the kirtan, good kirtan from holy names, and then such a nice time if we're feeling that we're so empty, and that happens to everyone sometimes. Feel so empty and have nothing, and I'm the one who's supposed to be giving and I'm empty. And I've tried to give what I don't have, and sometimes it works, and sometimes I feel more empty. So, then I go before Radha Pallava and Nitai Gaur and Jagannatha and say, just see my position. Unless you are merciful to me, what hope do I have? So there are practical alternatives, many practical alternatives. Is that right? But please don't think personal service only means to be with the person and being like a secretary or something like that. One time one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I just want to be by your lotus feet. And Prabhupada said, very difficult, my lotus feet are always moving. Yes, Prabhupada?
Maharaj, I think you have already answered.
Yeah, pretty good.
You might have missed your explanation. Why Avanti Brahmana said that when he had that feeling and he said, Lord Hari must be satisfied with me?
Because, it's what he said. He said, because renunciation, detachment, has taken birth in my heart. This is very rare. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that when one has reached the conclusion that there is no situation in the material world that can make me happy, one has taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life. So it hit him, that renunciation hit him. It's just me and Krishna. So he said that that only comes by mercy. So he said this must be because the Lord Hari must be. And Hari means he who takes away. I see with myself, there's always one, something I'm clinging to. You know, some hope somewhere that I'm clinging to. It's amazing how material desires, they stick in the heart and they don't want to leave and they just find something to hold on to. But the only way to actually remove them is, because you can't, like, it's like trying to get rid of darkness by without turning on the light. You just can't do it. So the light, this was his secret. It wasn't just renunciation, but detachment, detachment. Actually, it was detachment, I believe. But it was taking shelter of Krishna. And this is going to be his recommendation, and this is what we will also suggest. So regardless of what our situation is, if we think, oh, I'm going to wait till I'm detached and then I'll take shelter of Krishna. There was one devotee who said to Prabhupada, this is in the very early days, 1968 perhaps. One devotee, very early devotee, said to Prabhupada, since Bhagavan realization is higher than Paramatma realization and higher than Brahman realization, I think I should go away, become Brahman realized, then become Paramatma realized, and then I'll become Bhagavan realized, and then I'll come. And you know what Prabhupada replied? Are you chanting your rounds? And the devotee wasn't. So detachment, it won't occur. Unless it will occur naturally. What's the verse in the first canto of the Bhagavatam? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnanaya Asu. Vairagyam Asu means quickly. Both knowledge, meaning specifically that we're not our body, and detachment comes automatically. Asu, quickly, as our bhakti increases. So don't, I always find it's sometimes we have to, when we need some humility, we look we look forward and see how far it is in the distance and how dirty our hearts are. But if we just do that, and how attached we are, if we just do that, it's very, can become very discouraging. But if we somehow keep our consciousness on Krishna, and that's actually, oh, in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, the 3rd chapter, there's this wonderful verse. I don't know if I can get it right now, but this is one of the final verses that Sukadeva tells Maharaj Prakrit. In answer to Maharaj Prakrit's question, in Kali Yuga, the contaminations of Kali Yuga are all pervading. How can anyone become freed from that if he's described Kali Yuga? And then he says, Pumsam Kali Kritam Dosham. That in Kali Yuga, then this is how Sukadev gradually answers the question. The doshas, the faults of Kali Yuga, Javya Dev Neshatma Sambhavan, they are in everything, every place, everything, every place, and listen to this, and every person too. But Savam Harati Chittosto, if you place Krishna in your heart, if you place Krishna in your heart, Om Bhagavatam Purushottama, everything will be taken care of. And then, after a few more verses, and then the famous verse, and how's the best way to do that? That's where the verse comes, the final verse. In that chapter. What's the verse? Kaler Doshana Dhirajan. Even though it's an ocean of faults. Astya Kumhatana Kirtanadeva Krishna Mukti Sangha Paramachita. So we'll end on that note, and that will also remind us to be here to break our Mona Vrat with the holy names of Krishna at 6:30. So we'll see you at 3:30 though. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sri Sri Gauri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Chandra Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Prabhupada ki jai.